Yes, folks, it's 4 p.m. Central on Thursday. That means that this must be Pillars of Franchising, broadcasting the secrets of success in franchising. I'm Fred McMurray with my co-host Ray Pillar and Holly A. Ford. Ray, Holly, how the hell are you?
Hey,
doing good,
I'm
Fred,
great.
Holly. Yeah.
Hey, Ray.
Hey, how you doing, Holly, Fred?
Oh, man, we're doing great here. It's like, I'm going to go right into the weather because I'm going to brag. 80 degrees,
yeah.
No humidity, sun. It's like heaven. You see where I'm at on the Zoom?
Just relaxing, having a good old time. Yeah.
How about you?
Well, the weather here in the Midwest, Aurora, Illinois, is 88 degrees with a very low humidity, a slight breeze outside. It's gorgeous out here. Mm-hmm. Finally, we got some good weather besides, you know, the cold and the rain and the snow. But
you waited so long, right?
How about you, Fred? How's the weather out on the left coast?
Well, it's been kind of overcast most of the day, and they've been digging up the front street. And I was afraid we're going to get to do the show with the sounds of jackhammers pounding, but it appears that they've somehow plugged the hole. So, yeah, it's perfect hoodie weather out here. All you need is a hoodie. Ooh. Sun's not too bright. It's just that perfect day on the central coast of California. And I was doing some whale hunting. Didn't see any, but it looked like there might be some spouts. There might be some spouts on the in the ocean. But no, it's about that time, I think. I don't know. They pop up in weird times.
Well, I thought whale hunting was illegal.
No, not for tourists with cameras. It all depends on what you...
Okay. So, and you're not talking about big girls either, right? Can't go there, huh?
Ray, that was horrible. Good thing it's not Women in Franchising Week.
You might have to delete that part, huh?
Nailed.
Anyway.
Our guest is probably closing his eyes, saying, "I'm not seeing any of this." He's like, "Is it too late to jump off this show?"
Somewhere in that second marriage, you understand the value of not making comments like that.
Gentlemen.
So, some bigger news, some small news, some big news. One of our past guests, and Holly, I think you know Franchise Dictionary magazine.
Yes.
Jill Abrahamson. I screw that up again.
Yeah.
She's left FDM. And she's now at, I had it on my screen before tech disaster was happening. But if I remember right, it's called jobsite.com. And so I invited her on the show. We're going to get her on the schedule.
All right. Great.
So women in franchising again.
Jill, I know Jill.
Sorry,
a few articles for her.
It's jobsiteimage.com.
Jobsiteimage.com. Love it.
And as I was telling Ray, I met the San Luis Obispo SCORE chapter. Crap. Again, I lost that. He's the big dude, the chapter chair, something like that. And I met him and I asked him, because we've had a couple of guests on the show from SCORE, and he said he used to own a gold mine. That's like in Nevada.
No way.
Okay.
Seriously?
So we're going to have him on the show. Seriously, because I figured, and I asked Ray, I said, don't most franchisees.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
Can he have samples?
He would have been my favorite friend for life. All right, so I got one last piece. The Basin Street regulars of the Central Coast Hot Jazz Society, talked to them last night at the same event. They got a event coming up. I think it's on Sunday. And sadly, again, I lost that website, but you can go to pismojazz.com. This works. The Bay Street Regulars were founded in 1976 and have over 300 members. Each month they hire guest professional traditional jazz band to play two sets, and then they work with the local school or local band to learn jazz. So go to Pismo Jazz. That's my local stuff. Or that's my news.
It.
What do you got? Ray?
Well, we've got, I'll speak up here. We've got the Neighborly Reunion coming up next week, which is a huge event. And I say huge. Last time I attended, there was over 2,000 people there. So that's usually a pretty big deal for Neighborly. And it's going to go well for us Molly Maid owners. It's going to go, I think it's from Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then it continues on, I think the main event is on Monday night, so with a big dinner and awards banquet and everything, so that's pretty exciting for us.
So you're going to, will our friend Ken Fisk be there?
I don't know.
You'll have to get pictures with him.
Oh, for sure.
Did you bring back pictures of you and Ken in Cancun? That's to Holly.
It's to Holly.
Oh, me? I probably do have pictures, actually. I have a lot of incriminating pictures from Cancun. Yeah. I have to say that. I'm a good girl. But, boy, yeah, we had fun. No, I'm teasing. Great. No, what a great group of people in Cancun. That was a good trip. I hope you can make the next one, you guys. Like, the one in Jamaica. Yeah.
I'll do Jamaica.
January.
Yeah, I'm on.
January.
January
okay,
in Jamaica.
When in January?
I think it's the second week. I'll send you the date.
I'm in.
Yeah,
right.
And I'll give you a little plug for FCC. You know, they're going to be doing a lot of outreach work too. So doing some stuff in Puerto Rico following that. So you know, we've got a great group of men and women with the FCC. So yeah, there's my plug for Nick.
All right. What any other news, Ray, besides the Neighborly event? Not that that's a besides, especially if you can get a picture with our friend Kent, Mr. Fisk. What other news you got?
I don't know. Holly, you have any news?
Let's see, news. Well, it's funny to tell you that. I'm in a really good mood. I rode my bike on the Loveland bike trail here down by the river for a while. Not the Ohio River, it's the Little Miami, beautiful watershed. And so it's just paradise right now. We get it for what I'm talking about, right? We probably get it for on and off maybe 10 days out of our entire year to have these beautiful days. And we live in this city for those 10 days, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's all my news.
So,
weather, see? It's dull.
Yeah. Enjoy it while you can. What's
right.
The thing? Carpe diem?
Seize the day, baby.
Live for today. So, hey, Fred, do you want to announce what's going to happen August 15th? Is that something
so,
we want to announce to our studio audience?
I've been waiting for one of you, and honestly, I thought it would be the leading lady myself, but yes, Ray.
I'm kind of excited about it. I may actually have to clean up my act.
Yeah. Holly can't be the only beautiful one on the screen.
That's
so
right.
So, folks, we will start broadcasting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I can be nice. Not in my job description, but I can be nice.
I'm not even going to flip you off all day long for that.
Wow. This is really an end of an era when I look at it. So, anyways, back to the big news is we'll be and we'll have by next week's show list, it'll be posted on the website, but we'll be broadcasting live on Periscope under the Pillars of Franchising Twitter account. There may be more accounts that'll broadcast, but we haven't figured that out yet. We'll also be on the YouTube, the Link Local Network YouTube channel, LinkedIn page, and Facebook page. So you'll be able to watch us live video on Periscope, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and maybe some more if I work it out. And Joe Pardo.
Okay.
Go ahead.
We just have to make sure that Holly doesn't give any single finger salutes.
Oh, come on. They are waiting for that. How many emojis did we get last week for Fred?
I'm not going to argue it. I'm not going to. Hey, that's what part of people are tuned in for is the carnage. It's the carnage, folks.
It's definitely carnage.
What I think is cool is the fact that people are actually going to be able to watch what I got to put up with anyways.
Oh, please. The torture of the poor man.
Oh, yeah.
On the Central Coast with construction. It's horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, dry as ice. Better yet, Ray, where's your shotgun?
All right, so we'll still be on BTR, and hopefully we expand working on other channels we can grow to from there. But very pumped about this. We're going.
Yay.
Where Super Joe
Big
said
time.
We should go.
Yeah.
So, hey, Fred, are we going to be on YouTube, Facebook, everything simultaneously? Tell our viewers how that's going to happen.
We will have the list of places you can go, but you'll be able to watch from one of those pages. And what Ray and Holly don't know is since I can't be watching that many pages at once for user comments, each one of them is going to get to watch a chat too.
Okay. That should be interesting.
Oh, goody. Oh, that'll be fun. Oh, what can we say? Oh, we could come up with all sorts of things behind your back, couldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
But remember, I'll have a lot more chat channels going than you will.
Yeah. Sure you will.
Well, you know.
All right,
Fred,
let's talk to Jim.
I will let you introduce. Yes, I will let you introduce our guest today.
Yeah. Before
Ray gets to do it.
Leave.
He's his buddy. Ray, you go for it.
We've dominated the show for the past 14 minutes and 20 seconds, so I guess we better introduce Mr. James Long, a good friend of mine and fellow Molly Maid owner. James, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Enjoying the banter back and forth here. Hearing about the future. My office has already marked down August 15th to make sure that we take a look when it's live with video.
Oh, please. It's going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah. Well, as you can see, sometimes we just barely get the show going here audio-wise. So when we put video in there, it's going to be a little tough. But, hey, Jim, how's the weather out where you're at? Tell the audience where you're at and a little bit about your franchise.
Well, I am in Tinley Park, Illinois, southwest suburb of Chicago. I'm right next to Interstate 80. I'm actually a suburb of Chicago, but closer to Joliet, Illinois. It's sunny and 83 degrees. It's we've had good weather here for the last few days. As you know, Ray, in the Chicago area, we had unbelievable rain for a long time. Now it's, things are drying out, and it's really a beautiful summer. And our franchise, we've been doing this. We're in our 25th year, so it seems like I've been doing this forever. And but running a franchise indicated earlier.
Wait. We're still way back on location here. Reel it back.
Okay.
Reel it back.
All right.
Seriously, dude, we're not going to let you get the whole story out asking questions. So we're going to reel you back in. Joliet, what famous movie started in Joliet? Was the opening scenes were in Joliet? And I don't have an audio clip. Man's got it on. Man's got it on. So who is your favorite musician in the Blues Brother?
Oh, my. Jake?
Yeah.
You really a musician?
Well, yeah. I was more of an Elwood fan myself. Holly?
What music do I like? Oh, my
no,
God.
What Blues Brothers band musician was your favorite?
I don't know. Blues Brothers, I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't know. I can give you other music that I like. Can I do that? No?
Ray?
I love them all, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't there a car chase scene inside of a mall?
South Lake Mall. And actually, you're not too far away from – no, it wasn't South Lake Mall. It was Madison.
Harvey.
Yeah.
Oh, Harvey. Oh. Harvey, Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, around 100.
Okay.
Interstate 57.
Dixie Square.
Yeah.
So now we figured out where Jim's actually located, for those of you who are fans of Chicago or who lived there way too long. Holly, you got the next question.
Oh, goody, goody. How can I repeat that? So, James, tell us, going back on, I'm going to just take this to the beginning, going back on your career in business, you know, what are some of the highlights that you had?
Time out. One thing. See, Holly's from Cincinnati. She doesn't understand Chicago, so we have to give her something.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
So, a little Cincinnati, since I caught her on an inherently Chicago film, and so now I tried to make it back up to you, beautiful. So,
thank
go
you.
Ahead.
I love that clip. Okay, so you just knocked me off my game, boy. I'll tell you what, Johnny Fever. So, James, I don't know if you're familiar with WKRP in Cincinnati.
WKRP in Cincinnati, yeah.
You go. That was a clip from the Thanksgiving turkey drop promo where they dropped live turkeys out of the plane and he didn't know they couldn't fly. So it's a great, great episode. But Fred is kind of like Johnny Fever, so we kind of have to go with that. And it's what, you know. And who are you, Ray Les Nessman? No, I'm just kidding.
Herb
All right,
Tarlick?
So James, Herb Tarlick. Oh my God, that's me. I'm Herb. She's Bob.
I thought you were Jennifer.
Oh yeah. Okay, I'll be Jennifer. Sounds good. Hey, listen, James, now that we're going to get back to the real topic, tell us a little bit about how you got into this in your career. Why did you start Molly Maid, you know, get into Molly Maid? Tell us about your steps and progression in your career.
Well, I got into Molly Maid by accident and unintentionally. I was a department director under the Jim Edgar administration. in 1993-94, the director of the Illinois Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Department. And while I was in that job, and she was an attorney who worked for a law firm doing the alcohol and drug kind of work. We started dating, became engaged, and then she went to work for a nonprofit that was a contractor of my department. The governor's office, one of the contractors in Chicago thought that was a problem, that I was showing favoritism. So the governor's office said I had to give up my job or she had to give up her job. Well, she was an attorney in private practice making good money, and I went from a trade association director to take a pay cut to work for the state. So we weren't going to give up her job. So I got promoted to the governor's office for a truly do-nothing job. And during that time, I was looking for an alternative. I subscribed to a magazine back then called Success, and there was an article about the founder of Molly Made. And I read that, and I inquired about it, and went to the week where you hear about the franchise and thought we'd give it a try, primarily because back in 1995, it seemed pretty clear I didn't have to go back to school to get an engineering degree to be able to run the franchise. It was a people business, which is what I'd been doing previously. And back in 1995, the investment requirement was only $40,000. So between cashing in my state retirement money, which I regret now, and borrowing money, we started the franchise. Opened the doors on March 1st, 1995. In an office that resembled a closet and had no customers. And the first 10 people who applied for a job, just like today, and some things don't change, didn't show up. When I finally hired two people, the first day the two people were supposed to come to work, they didn't show up. So I had to find two more new people. So from there, we started advertising and starting out, as most and many small business owners know, the first years working 60, 70, 80 hours a week for nothing but fun because there was no money to be had. But somehow got through the first few years, and then it started to progress. But I still remember the first positive note of progress was when I no longer had to pay interest on the credit cards that was funding the business.
There you go.
That was the Yep. financial milestone.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's awesome. Wow.
That's how we yep. got into it.
How long did it take you to get to that point?
Probably started making a little bit of money by the second, third year. And one has to know, understand, by then my wife had started, well, by the second year, she started her own law practice. And we made a decision.
Oh, wow.
We were going to be running two businesses, but the law firm was going to be the primary and Molly Maid was going to be the secondary. So although I put in a lot of time, when choices had to be made between one or the other business, we went with the law firm early on. So my initial growth was slower than some other businesses, but it was intentional. It was by design, which, by the way, is one of the things when you own your own business, you get to make those choices. If you want to do something, you do it. If you don't, you don't, because you understand the consequences. So.
Yep.
Wow.
That's one of the nice parts.
Yeah, I guess going back now, that flexibility, I have two girls, both of which have been involved in sports and a lot of school activities. One, the younger one's going off to college later next month. But in the course of elementary school, middle school, and high school, I don't think in all those years for those two girls that I missed more than 10 of their events, because when they had an event, I went.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Work-life balance.
Yeah. Family, family.
Well, and it also doesn't hurt that I've been blessed with great folks who work with me at Molly Maid, where I can go away and not worry about things collapsing.
All right, so we'll get back. We'll come back, but now we want to take a word for our sponsor. We want to thank the Link Local Network for broadcasting the show. You can read stories of work-life balance and attend events and listen to great radio shows at linklocalnetwork.com. You can call in today at 323-580-5755. That's 323-580-5755. Or you can chat live with me either through LinkedIn, Facebook, or the pillarsoffranchising.com website, where you can also be listening to all of us chat. And now a word from our first sponsor.
Zarian Firm International Business Brokers is truly unique in the business resale space. While the average business broker uses one standard multiplier across all businesses and industries to value a business, Zarian Firm is the only business brokerage that looks at the five factors of distinction in each individual business. This gives our sellers a true value and our buyers a fair price. Zarian offers sellers the choice of three marketing packages based on how quickly they want to sell their business. But all of our businesses sell 33% faster than the industry norm.
Zarian Firm International Business Brokers connects premium investors with validated business opportunities.
Hey, franchise owners. How is your local marketing? Do you feel like you could use some help keeping up with your social media posts and comments and reviews? Do you wonder if you could be doing more to attract local customers? Are you able to identify new move-ins to your local area? At Westvine, we help franchisees like you reach more local customers through digital marketing. With daily monitoring, creative content, and ad placement, and customer data intelligence, we'll get your business in front of the people who want your products or services. We also work with franchisors who need an agency to handle the digital marketing for all of their locations. If you're ready to reach more local customers, give us a call at 805-265-5440 or visit us at westvine.com. That's 805-265-5440 or westvine with a Y.com.
And we're back. And Ray, I think you get the next question.
Yeah, I got a little bit of, I don't know what you want to call it, trivia or information. When I was looking at Molly Maid as a possible purchase for me as a franchise, guess who is the first franchise I visited? It was Jim's.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So, yes,
I remember my first visit. That's good that you remember yours, Ray.
Awesome.
Yeah. I remember I walked in and I thought, wow, this is a little bit bigger than my broom closet at home. So, yeah, you're right, Jim. It was small back then. And so, why don't you tell us a little bit? Because I think you recently moved and expanded. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I've been there.
Well, in the progression, we went those first years in the broom closet. Then we rented two offices in that same building, and then about 2000, I bought a office condo with almost 700 square feet, and we eventually outgrew that. And I figured that if I'm going to sell, that we needed to be in a better physical location. So I've rented in a storefront 1,600 square foot and set it up in a manner that's kind of open, spaced, provides a lot of room. One of the interesting things is my Mollies, fewer of them steal some other people's supplies, because in the old location, everything was cramped. And so people were always saying, I accidentally grabbed somebody else's clean equipment. We got plenty of room now, so that doesn't happen. We're in a nice location. Interestingly, we're between a liquor store and a smoke shop, and we're inside Will County, which is just across the Cook County board. And then, in our little mall area, there's another little strip area. We have six tobacco shops plus the liquor store, because we don't have Cook County taxes, but, it's a, it's an easier location for my staff to get to. It's a little easier to go out to the vast ends of our territory. So it's easier in and out. So, but the staff, the Mollies, appreciate the better better location in the room. So we can treat them a little nicer in a bigger space.
So here's my question. Are you cross-marketing with the smoke shops and the liquor stores? Because I got to believe those people coming in need cleaning. So put coupons in there.
Well, no, we're not doing any cross-marketing. And actually, because I look out on the parking lot during the day because my office is in the front, I'm thinking that most of the folks going into the shops aren't thinking about the cleaning because we've only had one person in the mall kind of go by and knock on the door and say, can I get information? So,
yeah, but that's no worries. My thought is if you put something in there right at the, mm-hmm. the checkout line, it's more likely to hit them than when they've already gotten their either liquor. So when they're picking up their liquor and their smokes, you're right. Cleaning is normally not what's in their head. But going in, you know, ounce of prevention is worth it. I don't know.
Interestingly enough, the end business in our little strip mall is a child care center. I haven't gone down there since we've been there, but I'm of the mind that the majority of the folks who have to use daycare would probably be better targets for our service.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Holly, take it away.
Great. James, this has been fascinating so far. I have a couple of questions about some of the things that, you know, may have occurred in a business sense. So some of the impasses that you've had, you know, Blocks obviously told us some of the things that happened in the beginning, but it's usually not all peaches and roses when you start to expand and grow and increase your customer base. What are some of the challenges that you went through from the status of how you presented your product to the customers and then maybe growing pains that you had internally?
Well, over the years, we've learned, and I think we've been doing a better job marketing. You know, in the early years, contrary to what people were telling us, I thought I knew better on a whole lot of things. And one of the reasons you buy a franchise is because there's a system. Well, I kept trying things contrary to the system early on, marketing and stuff, and they all failed. So I follow the system pretty much now. And I think one of our biggest challenge in this business, I liken our business to like a McDonald's. We do the same thing every day, day after day, and the challenge is not getting bored or zoning out because it's the same thing every day. And maintaining the quality, maintaining an environment where people want to come to work, trying to think of nice ways, reasonable ways to treat folks maybe a little better, and I think we do a good job at that. And you know, it's just a constant. It's really a constant challenge is doing the same thing. I think that's the hardest part of the job. And we've got a good economy going. Now the other challenge, and lots of Mollies have this, but it's even more of a challenge in a good economy, is finding enough good staff to deal with the hoped for growing business. And we just recently.
And do you work in the day to day of that, James? Are you the one that hires yourself, or do you have somebody doing that for you? Curious.
I do very little hiring. I have a general manager, Deb Harmon, who's been with me 22 years out of 25.
Wow.
And although I get involved in some things, even though it's not a spread out hierarchy, she's the day to day. So I try not to. Try not to interfere in that and avoid having folks come to me to go around her.
Got it. Thanks. Right?
Oh, that was good.
We
thanks,
are an eclectic group here.
I just passed the torch over to you.
Oh. So
this is going to be fun when you post this to video. It really is. go ahead, Ray. Sorry.
So right now, and actually it hasn't changed too much. It's just gotten a slightly more difficult. And what I'm talking about is finding good employees. So we've already talked a little bit about that. What would be some of the, what would you consider the next biggest struggle other than finding good employees, Jim?
Well, I'd say marketing and getting folks to respond. In our area, and we have this discussion among the Chicago owners, my demographic is a little different than the folks up north and how they view things with their and it's not meant as a negative, but we've got kind of a blue-collar mentality down here. And our service is one that a lot of folks don't put a lot of value on. So we may have the numbers and stuff, but it's harder to identify folks that are willing to pay, in effect, what they consider to be a premium for cleaning when they can get an under-the-table Polish lady from Lamont for $50. And So that's a challenge there, and getting enough of the phone to ring often enough. Ray knows this; he's got a bigger business than ours, but we've gotten to the size where we're going to have a certain amount of turnover. Even if our quality is super, people are going to die and move and stuff, and we have to make the phone ring 15 to 20 times in terms of estimates in a week to not go backwards or to gain more than just a tenth of a percent. And in the year, since the first of the year, we've only had 2 weeks where we've had more than 15 estimates in a week. So we have to try real hard to keep whatever customers we get. And that's a challenge. And, you know, we're all on the Internet. We got Google certified so that we could have a higher listing on when people go on their, especially their mobile devices. We work hard to get Google reviews. We've got more Google reviews than anybody in the area, more current. And so it's just a challenge to do a good job, maintain the quality, put it out there so people hear it and believe it, and try and encourage them to make the decision for us rather than some lower-priced under-the-table service.
Yeah, that definitely. Keeping customers is one of the hardest things that we do, because they move and they leave us. One of the interesting things I find is when a customer leaves us, if they've been with us only a short time, maybe several months, is they end up coming back because they realize that the service that we provide is not necessarily all from the cleaning end. Yeah, we do a great job cleaning a house, but it's what happens in the front end in the office that we take care of. We are, because we are, like Jim, a larger franchise, we can take care of, in other words, as an example, we had a couple weeks ago, we had 7 of our employees call off for, you know, who knows what it was, flu or the kids are sick or something like that. But we were still able, even though we had that many people call off, service all of our regular customers with no problems. So that's one of the things that I would like to point out to people who are going to, you know, for the lowest price. That's another thing that, and one of the things that I like to tell people, well, when that your neighbor who is cleaning your house falls down your stairs and is completely disabled, now that person now owns your home. So with MolleyMade, of course, we have the insurance that covers that. We have to have workers' comp. So those are the things that make the big difference. And I know when I was doing estimates in the field, if someone says, well, I can get my neighbor, like you say, for $50, I say, please, if that's what you want to do, go right ahead and do it. Then we are not the service for you. You know, it's as simple as that. I'm not trying to convince them, if they're looking for price, that, you know, that's something that they should be doing.
That's a good point, Ray, and I suspect we're not the only business where after time you learn that not everybody's a real possible good customer for you. that if someone doesn't understand what we offer and have some appreciation for that, then there's not really, there's little chance that they can become a good customer. And I just have to throw in, since you mentioned, we have had, this week we've had two former customers call us and have come back to us. So
that's awesome.
that happens fairly regularly, once or twice a month usually. And some of the folks left because they thought we weren't doing a good job, but then they found out we did a better job than the replacement. Or some folks, I love it when they say we can do it ourselves, and then they call back and say, we really can't. We don't want to do it, whatever. And they call us back, and we're glad to have them. So,
I've been told several times, how can you clean my house in a couple hours when it takes me 2 days?
Or the absolute reverse to that is when you're doing an estimate and you tell someone we're going to be here 3.5 or 5 hours initially, and then 3 hours and all the time, and then the lady says, I clean my house in an hour and a half, and you can see I'm taking good care of it. And we look around, that's when you get very diplomatic and politic in your choice of words. Before you choke, you figure out how to tell the woman, what you want to say is, your home is a pigsty, I really don't want to clean it. I'm charging you more than my average customer because your house is such a mess. But we don't say that. We just say that we can help you.
Yeah, right. we try to be PC in that respect.
Yes.
And on a PC note now, we will take a break and go for a couple more commercials. Who, again, thank the Link Local Network. Yeah. they help people work toward life balance. And I don't know. We all know that life balance is important. So check out their writers at linklocalnetwork.com. You can dial in and ask a question at 323-580-5755. That's 323-580-5755. Or engage on the pillarsoffranchising.com website, or technically the Link Local Network website. And now a word from our friendly neighborhood sponsor.
Are you thinking about opening a business? Whether you're in transition from a corporate job, looking to generate investment income, add to your existing business, or just too young to retire, come to the Great American Franchise Expo and explore your options. Meet face-to-face with dozens of franchise executives representing dozens of quality brands. A wide range of price points and ownership models are available. Attend our free seminars on accounting, real estate, and marketing. Franchise law experts will be there to answer your questions, and banks are on hand to discuss loans and financing. The first 100 attendees will receive free VR goggles. For free tickets, visit www.franexpousa.com. The Great American Franchise Expo, coming to a city near you in 2019. Check our website for schedules.
And we hope to have Abel on today, but technical difficulties is why we're always like to have two guests instead of one. So the next Fran Expo USA is in Jacksonville from September 7th and 8th at the Prime Osborne Convention Center. And, folks, they've also publicized their 2020 calendar. Sadly, Ray, they will not be west of us, or west of you, east of me. Well, they're all east of me, but never mind.
Ever wonder how successful business people get educated about franchise business options? The Franchise Consulting Company is a group of over 100 franchise professionals with more than 2,000 years of franchise experience. We help our clients select and investigate franchise companies. And like a realtor, our services are free of charge to you. Our fees are paid by the seller. Reach out to us to learn more and get a free copy of the Franchise MBA, the number one bestseller and highest reviewed book on Amazon in the franchise category. Our website is thefranchiseconsultingcompany.com, or feel free to call us on 800-321-6072.
And folks, if you're just hanging out on the pillarsoffranchising.com website, you can just fill out the form and get Nick's book for free, just as Nick said. We'll make sure you get a copy, or you can pick a different book, can't they, Holly?
They can, or they can pick both. There you go. So we'd love to give you a copy. There you go, right? We'd love to give you a copy of the book called Create Your Own Wealth that I wrote. And it's a collection of two-minute topics in franchising that were derived from Pillars of Franchising radio show. So we'd love to share that with you. They're short little quips, but a lot of depth and info in those as well. So, yeah, anyway, give us a call about that or text us, email, or blog with us, and we'll send you a copy of that. And as complimentary from Fred.
Ooh, she's pushing the world out for us. Okay. Free books, folks. Other stuff in the we're with video, we're expanding. You get to watch the clean shaven Ray, the interesting guest, and the beautiful Holly on every episode.
Are you gonna hide? You're gonna put some kind of gas mask on, aren't you, Fred? You're not gonna show your face.
I had been contemplating see if I could find a different mask every week.
I love it.
But I also like the idea of getting a Thor helm to go along with my Thor hammer. So I speak fluent sarcasm T-shirt is definitely on high on my list as show wear, but I'm still working on it. So, why don't you take the next question?
Love it. All right, I will. So looking at your business now from the trajectory that where you were to where you are now, and then looking forward, how would you like to expand and grow? Are you really happy with what you've got going on? And while you're talking about that, if you are comfortable, share a little bit with our guests about the margins that they can acquire if they choose to purchase a Molly Maid.
Well, with regard to being comfortable, we're trying to grow the business. Which is one of the reasons we moved. We thought that would be helpful. And I've finally come to the conclusion that I want to put my business on a trajectory to be more attractive for sale. And so, for example, you mentioned margins. I'll be working to make the official margins look a little better because there are things when you own a business that you spend money on legitimately that the fellow who might be or woman who's looking at the business next time, you don't want to have that on your P&L statement because you'd rather take it off rather than say you don't need to do it. And I use two examples of where we spend money legitimately on marketing that I will stop doing over the next few years. I sponsor my grandson's baseball team, and I've gotten zero customers from that over the last 10 years. And do a lot of advertising at my high school, which I'm very proud of and glad going back. And I think I've gotten one customer from that over the years. That's $10,000 I spend that probably a new owner may choose another. But then again, if an owner doesn't want to, there's $10,000 more that I'm going to be putting on the bottom line over the next few years. I also give away a lot of free cleaning. I will gradually stop that. And just tighten up on a whole lot of expenses. When I first visited an owner in Michigan, in Ann Arbor, Michigan, that owner, who since sold his business, but he said, you've got to look at every line item because they all add up. And after 25 years, I finally believe that. And those are kinds of things I'm going to be doing. And margin-wise, my margins hover in the 9 to 12% range. But if you take a pen or pencil and add up all the things that benefit me and my wife as owners in terms of the net, in terms of what we pay ourselves, in terms of the expenses that we would be paying for otherwise. I mean, for example, a lot of business owners, I'm sure, don't pay for their cell phone on a personal account anymore. I mean, all these little things add up. And if I put a percentage on those, I'd say it's in the 20 to 25% category. And on a million and a half, that's $300,000. So.
Well, yep, James, yep. You kind of nailed an important issue. So one of the things, you know, with Zarian, the company that I own, we always make sure we do is we do, you know, on the lower end businesses, and I mean lower meaning under $5 million annual revenue, is we value those businesses based on seller discretionary earnings instead of, you know, straight EBITDA. So basically, we're going to take EBITDA, we're going to add back your salary because that new owner may not take the salary that you're doing. He may go a smaller mm-hmm. amount or a higher amount. So we add that in, let them create that. We also add back everything you're running through the business legitimately, like you're talking about yourself and your personal use, your travel expenses. We add that back in. And that's because, just for our audience, this is not cheating here. These are expenses that you won't incur and you don't need to have to operate this business successfully. This is what this owner did to alleviate, honestly, his tax burden somewhat. So we add those back in, and then we set the multiplier to it, and then we add back the depreciated cost of the assets. So that gives us a really fair business value. If you have a lot of time, that multiplier that we're multiplying that cash flow by can be as high as 4 or 5, you know, depending on the brand, obviously the business, you know, and you can get a good dollar amount for your business. But better yet, that person is coming to buy this business. They're buying something of a real value, and we want to spell that out for them so they can see that. So, yeah, I just wanted to clarify for our listeners what you were talking about. Quit laughing, Fred.
Now, could you simplify that for us poor marketing guys?
No, they have to get my book, and that'll explain it.
So, I mean, you know, remember, my goal is get it down to five to seven words so people can remember it.
Not happening, Fred.
And that is why that will be never
five,
marketed
right?
Well.
Here's one, two, three, four.
See, I knew she couldn't.
You're not going to be able to do that on August 15th.
Oh, no, we'll still do it.
Well, you can always read between the lines.
Oh, there you go.
I knew we wouldn't. I knew we wouldn't make it through the show. I knew we wouldn't make it through the show. I was being nice earlier, but okay, that's fine. It's all good.
And look, the fingers are fixed.
Yeah.
I had a broken nail last week. It was horrible.
Yeah. Sorry, Ron. I was going to mention you, but I'm not going to now. I can't deal with that one. Okay.
Hi, Ron. Is Ron listening?
He's been messaging me on LinkedIn. Many people message me. Few are asked. So my question is, every Miss Molly has works with the Miss Molly Foundation. How do you work with the Miss Molly Foundation?
Well,
that was a real question, Fred. I'm proud.
We've been working with Miss Molly in the local domestic violence shelter for 15 years, I'm guessing. We generally, in October, deposit about 30 to 40 bags of goods that customers have donated, and our typical check to them is now between $2,500 and $3,000 annually that we, between our contribution and the contributions we get from our customers. So
that's awesome.
And in 2017, our Molly Made was the recognized as the corporate partner of for the Crisis Center of South Suburbia. So we were very pleased with that.
Excellent. That's really cool.
And the interesting, the benefit for us is that the Crisis Center has also over the years helped more than a few of our ladies. We've run into that issue periodically, and so we've made referrals, and they provide help. They have provided help to a number of our Mollies over the years as well.
It affects everybody.
That's for sure.
Ray? That was my question, Ray. I got it out there. What's yours?
Well, I thought it'd be a good idea to mention one of the good things about owning a good franchise, not just necessarily Molly Maid, but any good franchise, is because we have a great bunch of people in the Chicagoland area called the Chicagoland Molly Maid Cooperative Advertising Cooperative, which is of course Jim is a member of, and we get together periodically and talk business, and but just a great bunch of people, and we get all kinds of information from each other, and I'm going to ask Jim maybe to comment on that a little bit.
Well, that's a good point, Ray. The we get together, and we work things out. So we come to agreement on advertising, and though we don't always agree on everything, we always come to an agreeable point. And it's interesting, we were the first ones that had a co-op, and I'll throw a pitch in for my wife. My wife is the one who developed the bylaws, et cetera, and how we got together and the voting and that, because she's an attorney, and that's something working for nonprofits and stuff that she's done, so that was helpful. And there have been other co-ops who've come along and asked for the bylaws or tried to do it, and although I think some are doing some work together, there's no other area in the country where the owners work so cooperatively together, are helpful to each other. Quite frankly, there are aspects of the business over the years that I'm not as good at, or I don't have the inclination. There's a couple of owners with regard to the accounting and the business side and the technical side that I, over the years, Tom Blank, Jerry Graychick, I know I've asked Ray a time or two on time, but those two guys, I'd ask a question. Is it time for me to start this yet? And if Tom said yes, I started. If Tom said no, I waited. If I didn't understand something on some of the technical side, Jerry was great with spreadsheets and stuff, asked something like, should I waste my time doing this? No, I'll let you know. And so we've got people who've got experience, who know their stuff and are willing to share, and it saves both time and money and makes for a much more cooperative, collegial, if you will, teamwork. I've played a lot of sports in my life, and I'm very comfortable in kind of comparing the Chicago folks to a bunch of team members who'd rather win the championship than worry about whether or not they're going to get the MVP themselves. So it's a nice group to work
with.
All
right. Yep, absolutely. It's a fun group.
Well,
too.
I've got one last question for you, James, and that is really just an advice that you would like to give all of those people out there, because again, we're pillars of franchising. They're looking at perhaps buying a franchise or starting their own business. Can you give our listeners one piece of advice, the best piece that maybe you ever got on this?
Well, I would say that when you're looking at a franchise opportunity, you check things out and you see all the good things, but don't diminish and don't forget that there's going to be a lot of hard work. There's going to be times in most instances that you're doing where you're going to wonder, was this a decision I should have made or not? It's driving me crazy. You got to have determination. It's not something you can buy and be, well, I'm going to say it's rare that somebody could buy it and be immediately successful without the hard work and the headaches and stuff. And just anticipate them. One of my biggest lessons in my second year, when the business was probably $3,000 or $4,000 a week, at the end of the year, tax year, I had to do 70 W-2s. So that suggests high turnover. Well, we've gotten more success. In recent years, I haven't had to go over 50 in any one year, because we have very little. We have turnover, but we've got a large core of stable folks. But getting to the point, what I learned is change my expectations in terms of I hire nice people, but I change my expectations that not everybody kind of looks at things the way I do or the way I was brought up. And when I changed my expectation, it was like a big stone was taken off of my back. It just made it easier, because then if I expected high turnover, if I expected people not to show up on a regular basis and everybody showed up, it was a great day. But if they didn't show up, I wasn't disappointed because I expected it. So
yeah.
It's just getting a realistic view of what you're getting into.
Wow.
Ray,
that's good advice.
Sorry, I was going to go for Ray's final question.
Go for it, Ray. You're good.
All right. So the most important part of this, Jim, is if someone is in your territory and they want cleaning service or they just want to talk to you, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, you can call us at 708-614-7575. Go to the Molly Maid website and put in Tinley Park or 60487. Google us on Molly Maid or house cleaning, and we're going to pop up near the top, so you'll get our phone number.
Yep.
Or stop on by 8005 183rd Street, Suite E in Tinley Park, the corner of 183rd and 80th Avenue. Not far from the police station here in Tinley Park.
Tinley Park. Go Tinley Park. They had a good mall. So, folks, this has been another episode of the sub-theme I call the Molly Chronicles. I want to thank Jim Long for being our guinea pig today and forcing Holly to flip me off before the end of the show. Everyone... have a great week. Make it a profitable one and be nice to each other. World needs more of that.
That's for sure.